On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse which the king rideth upon, and the royal crown which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and to bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said unto Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning, having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but thou shalt surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. The prayer that we shared together to the Lord was a beautiful summary of the thoughts that I had on my heart to share with the congregation this evening about how the Lord was orchestrating things, and how it's amazing the timing of how the Lord orchestrated these things during this time that we read of this evening, and also what types of behavior are very, very destructive, as we read here this evening as well. When we consider the book of Esther, and we consider all the things that had transpired, how God was orchestrating things all along. First, Vashti was queen, and she was removed, and then Queen Esther came in her place. And then how those two chamberlains tried to take the king's life, and Mordecai reported on that, and the king's life was spared because of that. And yet, that perfect timing of that event was read in the chronicles on this evening that the king could not sleep. And the previous day, Queen Esther had a banquet with the king and Haman, and it was on the next day that she was going to present her case to them. And in between those two banquets that were to take place, this night happened that we read about in this evening. And so God was orchestrating all these things. And we see his hand working here in the time of Esther, in the time of Mordecai. And we see it's a beautiful thing. And then we see Haman, and we can look at his character and the things that Haman did. He was a wicked man, and the Bible here clearly labels him as wicked Haman. And we see this destruction that happened in his life because of the thoughts that he allowed himself to think as he was living his life. The thoughts that he was thinking brought about his destruction. We read about it in verse number 6. It says that now Haman thought in his heart. This is where his downfall came, that he was thinking in his heart. That to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? He had obviously a great sense of pride about himself. And so our thoughts are very important. We see that Haman, because of his thoughts, was brought to destruction. Our thoughts are the origin of what our life is, what the complete encompassing of our life is. Our thoughts bring about what we speak about. And then what we speak about is what our actions are. And then what our actions are become our habits. And then what our habits become a character. And then that character has a destination, one of two places. So it all originates with our thoughts. And so we are to guard our heart and guard our thoughts that they would reflect the Lord and have him in our hearts and in our minds. The Apostle Paul says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, as Haman did, but to think soberly." So don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think sober thoughts, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It was quoted, I believe, last Sunday of the truth that Jesus Christ says that he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so let's consider this scripture this evening and consider this truth that our thoughts and what we think about are very important because they have ramifications. They lead to things in our lives that could ultimately destroy us or could give glory to God. The choice is ours. And so there's a proverb that says, "Keep thy heart with all thy diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep our hearts, because our hearts are what we are going to meditate upon. That's where our treasure is going to be. So we are to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So on that night, on this night after Queen Esther had made a petition to the king and Haman to have a banquet with them, she was asking them to have a banquet. They had the banquet, and in that banquet, she gave a petition that they would come tomorrow and they would have another banquet, and at that banquet, she would present her case to them, which was, there's a situation here where the Jews are going to be exterminated, and one who wants to exterminate the Jewish race, which is her people, she says, was this wicked Haman. So on this night, in between those two banquets, it says that the king could not sleep. And he commanded to bring forth the record of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. So the king here is perhaps thinking, well, if I read some boring chronicles, maybe that'll put me to sleep. But the helpers there, they read to him about the account where there was two of the chamberlains, Bigthana and Teresh, that were keepers of the door, and they sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. This happened a time before, and it was recorded. And so this is the account that was being read to the king as the king could not sleep. And so the king makes an inquiry and says, "So what honor and dignity was given to Mordecai because he saved my life?" And the servant said unto him, "There was nothing done for him." And so the king, he says, "Who's in the court?" And Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house for a different matter. The king wanted someone to help him, and Haman was coming to meet the king for a different matter, and that matter was to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. So there was going to be a meeting now between Haman and the king with two different agendas on what they would want to discuss. And the king didn't allow Haman to bring up his topic that he wanted to bring up. But as he comes in, the king says unto him, "What shall be done unto the man to whom the king delighteth to honor?" And so as we already spoke here, the king, Haman thinks in his heart. He's thinking in his heart that to whom would the king delight to do honor more than unto myself? And so we can see we're familiar with people who have a lot of pride in them, and they think so highly of themselves. And that's what he was thinking. He was thinking, "Whoa, to whom would the king want to do more honor than unto me?" And perhaps he had some of these thoughts because the king had promoted him to be the second in command in this kingdom that King Ahasuerus had. It was a kingdom that stretched from India to Ethiopia. There were 127 provinces, and Haman was second in command. Perhaps he thought that he was due this pride. And if we read the previous verses of the previous chapter, Haman goes home and he tells his wife and all his friends, I have such great riches. He told them of the glory and of the riches and the multitude of his children, all the things that the king had promoted him to, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. And then he says, "And moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man to come in with the king unto the banquet that he had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I'm invited with her also with the king." So he's telling his family, Haman's telling his family, "It's just going to be me and the king and queen. This king and queen, this king that's got 127 provinces under him, from Ethiopia to India, and it's just going to be me and them together." And then he says, "But all of this profiteth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." All these good things happening to Haman, all these blessings and all these riches that he has, and yet his thoughts go to this Mordecai, this Jew, that sits at the king gate and won't stand up for him as he passes by. His thoughts were consumed with that. "All this avails me of nothing because of this Mordecai the Jew that sits here at the king's gate." And that can happen in our lives. The Lord can bless us. He can richly give us all good things and give us more and more. And somehow we sometimes don't focus on the good things that God has given unto us, but a challenge that we have, and we allow the thoughts of that to consume us. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Man has a sad history of thinking bad thoughts. All the way back to Genesis chapter number 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Haman was no different than the people back in this time when there was giants in the land. The wickedness of man was great, and the imaginations of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We need to be careful that pride doesn't well up in our hearts, because when we think that we are something, as Haman did here, he thought he was something that, well, who does the king want to honor more than myself? When we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, the power of Christ is gone in our lives. And that's a scary thought, to think that the power of Christ is gone in our lives, because we are thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And then Satan can easily have his way with us, because the power of Christ is gone in our lives. We're familiar with what Satan said. Lucifer. He said, it says here, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart..." This is what he says in his heart. And again, we need to guard our heart. But this is what Lucifer said in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation and in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. These were the thoughts that Satan had, exalting himself. Haman had those thoughts. Those thoughts were of wicked men from the early time in Genesis. And those thoughts are there today as well. But ours is to take heed to what we are thinking about, knowing that what we're thinking about leads to consequences. And so, I believe we're all familiar with what happened here further, that Haman, because he's thinking it's going to be a great thing, and he wants this great thing for himself, that he says a great plan as to what the king should do to whom he delights to honor. And just think of how Haman must have been crestfallen when the king tells him that he is to do that to Mordecai. The king says to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew," not to you, "to Mordecai the Jew that sits at the king's gate, who you despise, and let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." How he must have been crestfallen, and it must have been so difficult for him to put that apparel on Mordecai, and to put that crown on top of Mordecai, one who he despised, one who just the previous night he's telling his family, "Yeah, go ahead and make those gallows that are 75 feet tall for Mordecai." And so he leads Mordecai through the city and makes a proclamation, "Thus shall it be done unto the man to whom the king delighteth to honor." And then after that's all done, Mordecai comes again, and he sits again at the king's gate. He's right there. He's right there at the king's gate. And Haman hastes to his house, and he gets the counsel from his wife and friends again, saying, that Jew who you were battling against, who you wanted to kill and to destroy, you're not going to prevail against him. And thou shalt surely fall before him. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. When we have pride, when we have a haughty spirit, what's subsequent to that, in all cases, is destruction and a fall. And so it happened to Haman. And so it continues to happen to all men. And it says here, again, referring back to the beautiful timing that God was working here throughout all the events here at this time. It says, "And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman into the banquet that Esther had prepared." And so then we read at the end of the chapter, of the next chapter, how Haman was hung on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai the Jew. This wicked Haman, who had so much pride and who thought so highly of himself and allowed his thoughts to go to deep places that were not supposed to be, it brought about his destruction. Our thoughts versus God's thoughts. We're reminded of Isaiah 55, how it says that God's ways are not our ways, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. "But as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Sometimes we think we know a thing or two. Sometimes we think we can be pretty smug and know a lot of things. But God's ways are so much higher than us, than our ways, and God's thoughts than our thoughts. When we consider different vertical elevation differences, they can be astounding when you get to a higher elevation than a lower elevation. But here it's saying that the elevation of heavens is where God's thoughts are versus where our thoughts are. And so we go to Jeremiah 29, more familiar verses. For I know the thoughts, God is saying, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God knew that he was going to perform his word. In the previous verse, it says that after the 70 years shall be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return unto this place. And so God knows the thoughts that he has toward us. And they are great thoughts. Thoughts that are as high as the heavens are above the earth are his thoughts compared to our thoughts. And those thoughts that he has toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. This is what the Lord would have for us. And so we go to the New Testament and we read about the thoughts that we should have. The Bible says, casting down imaginations. Now remember Genesis? It said that they had evil imaginations continually. But here we are being encouraged in the New Testament that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity, just as the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon, we are to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. That what he would say, we would obey. What his word would tell us to do, that we would do. That we would have the mind of Christ and his thoughts in our lives. What was in Christ's mind? Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Haman didn't care about seeking and saving that which was lost. He was thinking thoughts about himself and exalted himself. And he had pride in his life, and that pride brought about a destruction. So if we have thoughts of peace, knowing that God has thoughts of peace toward us, and that we have thoughts that are brought into the obedience of Christ, that as he wants all men to be saved and to be brought into his presence throughout all eternity, so are we to have those thoughts as well. Again, knowing that our thoughts will bring about our words, and we will speak of the glory of God. We won't be contentious. We won't speak highly of ourselves. We will bring forth the word of God from our lips, because that's what's on our mind. We're thinking about the word of God. We're thinking about the purity of the word of God. And so we're speaking of these things. And then we want to do what the commandments of Jesus Christ are, and have those actions be a part of our lives. And then that action being done repetitively forms habits. And we are habitual about our service to the Lord. And then that habits turn into a character, a godly character. One that seeks to honor and glorify him. One that seeks to build up the body of Christ. One that seeks to be a good witness and a good testimony of Jesus Christ and drawing others to be followers of Jesus Christ. And then, at the end of our years, it'll be said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This is what the Lord wants of us, to guard our thoughts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The psalmist wrote about this topic as well. And he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what I am thinking about in my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let that be working in us. Let the word of God and those things that would be acceptable unto him be what we are meditating upon, that it would drive us, that it would motivate us, that it would define who we are in all ways. Knowing that for Haman, it did not turn out very well for him at all. And then what happened even subsequent to that was that his 10 sons were also hung on those same gallows that their family had decided that should be built for Mordecai the Jew. Mordecai didn't fear. Mordecai said that and Esther that they should fast for 3 days so that this event would not happen of them being exterminated as a people, the Jews. And to this day, the Jews celebrate Purim in remembrance that their extermination did not happen. And they share in gifts and enjoy. The Lord has done great things in that time, and the Lord does great things in our lives as well. Let us always yield to him and make sure that in our hearts we are always glorifying the Lord. Amen.
In our opening hymn, we sang the words, "Heralds of peace thou sendest, by them to us extendest the living bread of heaven, that none of us may perish. Arouse our hearts to cherish the grace and healing to us given." An announcement and herald of peace is extended to us that we might receive the living bread of heaven. And that has truly taken place in our midst. As the word has been opened and we have been reminded of the one true God that directs all of the activities and events that occur in our lives and in this world, that we place our faith and trust in him, and that he has sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the one who is the example of that meekness and humility, that service and love that we seek to follow, that living bread. He's the one that willingly served, and that we and all mankind neglected to give honor and dignity. And he suffered for us. But he became obedient, and he humbled himself, and God exalted him, and he's given him a name above every name. And he sends his herald of peace and calls us to follow, to hear of who God is. And that when we receive that message, that we could abide in his love. And when we humble ourselves, that God would extend his grace to us, for which we are all in great need. May his word speak to us, and may we cherish it in our hearts, the grace and healing that was given to us. Amen.